This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 187 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, April 8th, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch.
Hello.
Marcus, is it raining where you're at? I think it was raining in California. I made headlines.
It did rain for a total of 3 minutes.
And jeez.
I will see it rain again in September.
So. Wow, jeez.
Fun while it lasted.
I guess you should have ran outside and looked up and felt it because you don't know when you're going to have that feeling again.
Yeah.
Anyways, I've seen we've had some good feedback, I think, from the episode on Lewis Howes. I think I saw a couple people on Twitter said it was a good show, some good insight in that show. So I'm glad to hear that. We don't have any new iTunes reviews to go over this week, but if you're a listener to the show, you really like us, or you don't like us, you know, take some time, open up iTunes, give us a review, tell us what you really think of the show, give us a star rating, we'd really appreciate it. And if it's a good review, I'm just kidding. If it's a good or bad review, if you throw a URL in there, we'll probably mention it on there too. So there's a little bonus incentive for you.
There you go. Yeah, it helps us with the rankings. When we restarted WordPress Weekly, Jeff, when you restarted it, actually, we had to do a new feed, new all that stuff. So anything that was old, as far as the old archives, there wasn't too much that was carried over as far as the reviews. So we could really use that extra booster shot, and it's the listeners that can help us do that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we'd appreciate it. It'd be awesome. The more reviews, the merrier. So this week we have an awesome guest on tonight. I've been looking forward to this show. I always enjoy bringing somebody on who is, you know, sort of with the people on that personal level, and they understand the pain points of WordPress. And, you know, a lot of times people like me, I've said this a couple times, and there's been a lot of others who say, WordPress is easy, WordPress is easy. Yet when you work with some, if you ever go to a work camp and you work with some people in a happiness bar, you find out, maybe it's not that easy. And our guest tonight will be able to shed some light on whether WordPress really is easy or not. So Marcus, why don't you introduce our guest?
Our guest today is technology trainer and WordPress influencer Bob Dunn. Known to some simply as Bob WP, he's been a WordPress user since 2007 and began training others on the system shortly after. With his self-described training style as non-geeky, Bob delivers straight-to-the-point results for all those that he has instructed. In addition to those training and site contributions, he's also an active organizer in WordPress meetups in the Seattle area and also has a podcast of his own titled WP Breakdown. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Hey, Marcus. Glad to be here.
Yes, another West Coaster, except you're way up north, kind of close to Canada, eh?
Yeah, kind of, you know. Hey.
I had to throw that in there. Bob, thanks a lot for joining us on the show tonight. As a bit of a little tradition here when we have guests on the show, I always want to sort of ask them, what is their WordPress origin story? How did you discover and start using WordPress?
You know, it kind of goes back before 2007. The previous 20 years, my wife and I basically ran a marketing and graphic design firm. And so for many, many years, I was into print design, and then in the early 90s, I think I started dabbling in the web and HTML.
Well, for a split second there, I thought you were going to say Flash.
Yeah, no. Oh, okay. Actually, I think it was, what was mine? It was Adobe. My first program I used was Adobe. It was not Go Live. I think it was before it was called Go Live. And I knew I had to get into web stuff. But it was like I hated it. It just bored me. It was no fun. So for the next 10 years, I played around with it a bit. I did a few static sites, HTML sites. They were just, I look back at them and I think, man, they were horrible. But, you know, I knew that I had to at least be in that scope of online, and as it got into, you know, the 2000s and around 2007, I was realizing that, you know, print is going away, or not, I mean, going away as far as I was concerned with my work, and I was wanting to get into web more, and I thought, man, what's something I can get into? Because I was more of a designer. I was never a developer, and I never will be a developer. So it was that kind of design part of it, and I thought there had to be something easier, and I don't know how I came across WordPress. I just happened to, and I started playing around with it, and for about a year, I just messed around with it. I did a few things myself and checking it out, and there was, you know, that's when the themes kind of were starting to come out, and I thought, man, this is something I can actually create a decent-looking site. And the beauty of it was I didn't really like having to maintain a site, so I loved the idea of being able to basically set it up for a client, kind of show them, and they could go in and make those minor tweaks and stuff. So 2007 to 2008 was really the time. It was basically I wasn't looking at it so much for a tool for myself, even though it evolved into that. It was more, you know, this is something that will be perfect for me to get into the web a bit more and to also start giving more control over to the client, which is basically what I wanted to do.
So as you get involved with WordPress and you start realizing you can teach people how to do these small things or changes in WordPress, at what point does a light bulb go off? And you realize, hey, I could do this for a living, or at least part of my living.
You know, actually, there was a point where we shut down our marketing side of our business to design. I shut down print, everything. I said, I'm going to be doing web design, and all I'm going to be doing is WordPress. But at the same time, and that was probably, around 2000 or so. And as I did that, I started doing more little workshops and kind of free presentations for people. And some of it was based around WordPress, and some of it was more around online marketing and newsletters. And then actually got more into doing a little bit of presentations on blogs, you know, how to start a blog and the benefits of blog. And as I did more of that, it just was like, okay, I love this training part of it. I'm enjoying it so much more than the actual design, that maybe 2 years ago, I would say, is when I really, really mentally said, okay, I'm not going to be a designer anymore. Even though I've built up the training side of things, I said, you know, this is it. This is really what I want to focus on. And I was basically getting burnt out on design. I'd been doing it, you know, print, web, whatever, for years. And I just didn't have the, you know, it just didn't do much for me anymore. And I thought, that doesn't really help the client. So probably the whole, between 2001 and now, it was a kind of a slow transition into full-time training. And I just kind of put the design stuff on the back burner each year a bit more and more till I really felt comfortable. And I just thought, man, this has just got to be what I want to do now.
Awesome. So you have bobwp.com, and as we mentioned in the bio there, you also have a podcast called WP Breakdown. What sort of different types of training do you offer? And is there one that you prefer, maybe your customers prefer over the others? Is there a more popular method?
You know, I've been doing the one-on-one online for probably the last 4 years or so. And that's the one that's been kind of the constant. It's not the big, you know, it's not enough to do it full time, but I know there's people that need that one-on-one and that bit of hand-holding. They need somebody to really take the time, and some of them are willing to pay for the time. Other people, you know, think, wow, that's mighty expensive. But what I found with the one-on-one is that it's not somebody contacts me and says, I want to learn WordPress, I don't say, okay, let's get online one-on-one, because basically you're going to spend hours and hours and hours. That's not going to work. Typically, I'll send them to either, you know, some other tutorials. For a while, I had my own membership site. I would have them join that. They'd go through the tutorials. And then I would say, okay, you're going to get to a point where now you can come and hit me up for the one-on-one, and I'll fill in all those holes, those big pain points you're having and the things you just can't grasp. So the one-on-one has always been really good, but the workshops are probably what the in-person workshops I enjoy the most. I did a lot of those about 2 years ago. I did, I must have done 150 of them in a matter of 2 to 3 years in this area. And then I kind of took a break, about a year and a half to 2 year break. Now I'm back to doing workshops again. So that's what I really like doing. I think it's that in-person where you're, not just talking on a computer. You're actually sitting in a room. You're talking with people. You're interacting. You're actually seeing what they're doing, the things that are killing them, and the things that they can get right away. And there's just a lot more, I don't know, maybe it's more satisfaction in that in-person type of interaction.
And within that in-person interaction, how have you noticed, as far as the demographics of the people that attend, what's the trend from what it maybe was a couple years ago until now? What kind of person do you get? Do you get more corporate now? Do you get more individuals who just want to do blogging or basic site setup? Describe your audience for us a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say it's mostly the do-it-yourselfer. You know, the corporate training I've done over the years, last few years, has been more, okay, come in and train a certain group of people, and bam, that's kind of it. They don't often come to you through the workshops. Those are more people that are, doing business for themselves. A lot of them are kind of in my demographic, my age bracket, because I seem to attract them, because they kind of, It's nothing negative, but they'll say, I've tried to deal with this person, this young whippersnapper, and he just couldn't understand me. And I just, and they need somebody that really kind of gets down to that level again and remembers what it's like and has a patience and stuff. And some people just, that's just not their thing. So I get a lot of that age. And a lot of them are people starting second careers later in life. They might have even retired and decided they want to do something else. They want to do something online. And the other part of that is people that have maybe gotten into a job or a new job, and they're working for a small business, and they just, they suddenly sitting in front of WordPress, they have no idea what to do. So that's kind of a smaller group, but that's some of them. Corporate, not so much. It's like I said, it's more the do-it-yourself, because they know they're coming there to learn it because they want to do it. They don't want me, or they've been frustrated. They've tried the other ways of learning, and it just hasn't worked for them.
Yeah, one of the trends actually that I've been seeing is, at least I've been getting a lot of questions on Twitter from people that, like you said, want to start a career over again, or sometimes it's even expand a career, because some people will be working somewhere, even for a small business, and they want to get some job security. So what's the first thing they do is go, hey, we use WordPress as our business site here, Mr. Small Business Owner. How about if I start blogging on it a little bit more, because I've been with the company so long and have a good grasp of what the image and the vision of this company is. And I've been asked a couple times of people that are in that exact situation who just want a little bit more work equity when it comes to their career, and so they want to learn WordPress in and out so that they can take advantage of everything that it has to offer. So I completely confirm exactly what you're talking about there.
Yeah, and that makes sense, because a lot of them are coming and they're saying, this is, they feel like they're bringing something new or bringing a added asset into the business by saying, hey, I understand this blogging thing. I understand WordPress. I can do this for you. And it's just another added skill that they're finding is very useful.
I'd say another benefit to doing in-person training is you're able to see the light bulb moment. And I gotta imagine that's probably one of the highlights of, maybe that's even what keeps you going. The fuel that helps you keep going is just helping someone until they reach that point where, aha, they have that aha moment.
Yeah, and it's sometimes they're just, I shouldn't say they're hilarious, but they're really cool. I remember I was doing this presentation with two other WordPress people, and we were in this big auditorium, and we were going through and teaching some of the kind of the small little details of WordPress. And I remember when I can't remember what version I was on, we were on, but I showed them how to actually expand the editor window by grabbing that little notched corner. And I just heard this lady in the front row go, and she just kind of got these big eyes. And afterwards she came up to me and says, "I've been working on WordPress for a year, and I've been just battling with this fixed window." And she says, it's just like, oh my God, you know, she said, if anything, that was worth it being here. So it's sometimes those tiny little details that people just like, wow, I didn't know that, you know.
And then you're looking back on it, WordPress comes out with an update where they eliminate that little handlebar and the box expands automatically based on how much content is inside of it.
Right. So, yep, something always changes. So, you know, they got to get used to something else. So
now, as far as obstacles, and now let's go back, you know, 7-8 years for when you started. Are there still the same obstacles 7 or 8 years ago that you faced that are still there now? And subsequently, what obstacles did you have, but the platform has fixed itself?
Boy, you know, that's a good question. You know, there's always like the small little details and stuff, but the bigger things that really kind of people hit the brick wall, I think for, you know, 5-6 years ago, they haven't really changed as far as when people get into it or are first getting into it. I mean, you know, the big ones are choosing a theme and deciding on plugins. I mean, people get, they just go down this rabbit hole and they just get stuck and frozen. Like, what theme? They try theme after theme. And that really hasn't changed at all. Same with the plugins, I think. They think they know what they want, or there's, you know, all the different sites they go to, and these are the 10 best and the 10 best and the 10 must-haves. And it just confuses them more. And I don't know if anybody really has felt any more comfortable when they first open up that dashboard. I mean, that's the big deer in the headlights for a lot of people. They just, they get that, you know, install everything. Okay, cool. They open it up and then like, now what? You know, they just stare at it. And so a lot of those bigger pain points, I don't think have changed as much. I think some people might feel more comfortable diving into it just because of how technology and their comfort with technology has changed. And so people that are getting more used to working on, I mean, they're working on computers more, they're comfortable with their smartphones. Technology is a little bit more of a comfort level, so they're maybe more willing to actually dive into it. But the actual way WordPress works and then the pain points people have had, it seems like those beginners, it's just like this constant over and over. And, you know, it's just, what's a page and a post? Why is there two things like that? It makes no sense to me. I've heard it 5 years ago and I hear it now.
How can we dumb that down? I mean, I've thought, and I think I've mentioned it on the show before, that I think WordPress for the newbie should be like a game. Like, okay, go look at the page. Okay, now you got a point. Okay, now make your own page. Okay, now you got another point. Add a tag to it. You know, there's another point. And then you unlock pages or, you know, something like that. Posts.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just like different games, you can skin yourself. So then you unlock a theme or, you know, at least something for, and I'm always thinking of, you know, the younger crowd when it comes to that. Or even let's make WordPress back end for the newbie, you know, as easy as it is to post on Facebook, yet still maintain all the infrastructure and things like that, and then slowly, gradually, kind of get them into the fold of what WordPress really can do at its fullest.
Yeah,
and that's always the challenge. Is it's like it's all or nothing with WordPress when you install it. It's like bang, here's this giant, you know, medical anatomy of this technology that you've got to now cram the books and study or hire someone in person to take care of that. And how do you think that moving forward we're going to be able to, I don't know, keep the pace as far as growth when you've got an age of Wix and Squarespace and all of that stuff? How are we going to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's interesting because I was on the actually invited on the WordPress.org, the UX kind of team or whatever, to just to go in and talk about user interface and stuff like that. And they were trying to think of different ways to, you know, even with the help in there, you know, when you first open up the dashboard, welcome, how do we change those terms or how we do make those actions where they're actually understandable? I think one of the things with WordPress, and I don't know if there's actually a solution to it, is the community. I mean, there's so much information out there on WordPress, which is great in a probably a more, you know, positive sense, but in another way, all that information is accessible, and a lot of people that dive into WordPress, even though they know, okay, maybe I should do this, 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 they start going out there and start looking at this, and they get, you know, this shiny button over there, start talking about plugins. So now maybe it's not so important to do a page and a post or really wrap my brain around that. Now I've got to think about what plugins to do, or that whole theme thing, you know, where they get so focused on that and start trying to, you know, for say, maybe they're told, just grab a theme, go for it. So they do that, but then they get frustrated because the theme doesn't do what they want it to do. So then they get all stressed out. They think, how do I change my theme? So I don't know, you know, the way WordPress is right now, it's almost like it would have to be a major overhaul. But on the other hand, what I always tell people is when they come to me, they say, is WordPress easy, Bob? I say, no, it's not easy. It's got a learning curve. You're going to have to sit down. You're going to have to learn it. But once you learn it, you're probably going to love it because, you know, all the things you can do. And I think in order for it to meet everybody's expectations, I don't know how we can, you know, I don't want to say dumb it down, but how we can simplify things, because people's expectations are that'll do this, 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 this. And even though they know that it's a challenge to learn that, it's still going to be, they know that possibility is there, and they're it's always going to be in the back of their mind. And when they dive into it, they know, okay, I can start doing this, 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 and they go off in all directions. So I wish there was a easy way to, you know, make it more simplified, but I don't think with as robust as it is and keeping everything in, I don't really see a easy way. I think there's always going to be a learning curve to it.
Do you think we're doing the WordPress project a disservice when somebody asks, is WordPress easy? We tell them, yes, yeah, sure it is. You just download it, install it, you get themes, you just whip things up. I mean, It's not that easy. I mean, I attend my local WordPress meetup, and I'm explaining how to do things in WordPress, and then I'm sitting there thinking, you know, WordPress can't be that easy if it takes me a half hour to explain how to do something in WordPress that, you know, I should be simple, but yet when you tell somebody who doesn't know how to do it, maybe it's not that simple. Right? So I guess, Bob, I should ask your opinion. I'd like your response, actually. No, it's not easy. There's a learning curve.
Yeah, and that's I just did a presentation at WordCamp Seattle, which was it was called Experience. It was around developers and designers and not beginners. They kind of split it up in two this year. And I was talking about training your clients, and that one of the very first things I said is, you know, these are three words that we've made a huge mistake burying this into people's brains, that WordPress is easy, because then their expectation really, you know, it's like, wow, they jump in there expecting that, and that's why so many people get frustrated and disappointed, and that's where we've made it, you know, I mean, we work with it day in, day out and stuff, and it's easy, and for some people, it really depends on each individual. I mean, there's some people that just have that those technical whatever inside them that they can jump into something, play around, and really grasp things quite quickly. And then there's some people that, you know, it's a nightmare. It really is a huge learning curve. So everybody kind of is at a different level. And to just blanket statement that it's easy it really depends on the person, and it depends on the circumstances, and you know what their expectations of that site is. You know, if you say it's easy, and they're thinking e-commerce and a membership site and everything else, whoa, you know, they got to really step back and they get into it and find out, no, it's not quite that easy. So, yeah, I kind of cringe when I see that. I always, you know, especially if it's splashed on some big landing page.
And I keep thinking about in my head, as we say, WordPress is easy. Well, it's easy to do what? Yeah. What part? I'm trying to think of that, and without a lot of experience, it's really not easy to do anything.
It's easy to get frustrated.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I thought Marcus was going to keep going. Yeah. I just had
that's just a blank statement. But no, I'm saying, and I'll continue with the rant if you wish. But it's about the only thing it's easy to do is find plugins and install them, or find themes and install them. But otherwise, it's not easy. And maybe that's the fault of theme builders. Perhaps. I mean, I know that recently people like Matt Medeiros have come out with Conductor, and that makes it a little easier, but then you've got that to contend with. And so then you're kind of adding to the arc of your learning curve even higher. So, and I'm trying to think of like, okay, what theme out there has been really easy? And I'm starting to think like, okay, the Genesis stuff, or, you know, back in the thesis days and all that stuff. But those weren't easy either. They're not easy, and they're not easy to modify, and they're not even easy to get the demo content looking like the demo.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the easy part of it is that we seem to confuse easy with, for me, most of the people I work with are, like I said, they're just users, bloggers, people that are running a business, and they don't, you know, live and breathe WordPress. They're using it as a tool. What's easy to them is if they can do something without knowing code, if they can go in and actually make changes and use a plugin like Matt's Conductor, something like that, it's easy for them. But the whole concept of easy isn't that you don't have to learn it. Yeah, you do have to learn how to use it. And that's where a lot of the themes of page builders are. You know, they say, oh, it's so easy to create your own customized layout. Well, you know, and conceptually, yeah, it is easy because you don't have to learn code and get in there and do everything. But you do have to learn the functionality of that page builder, and that's got some serious, you know, features that you have to go through and wrap your brain around.
So what should we say instead of easy? What kind of synonym should we use?
I basically say, kind of, I go back to the same thing. Doesn't come out quite as smoothly. I always say it isn't easy, but once you learn it, you'll love it. And that's kind of the thing is I train some of these people and they're just frustrated at the beginning, but once they finally get their brains around what to do, they're just like happy as can be, and they're thinking, wow, look at me, look what I can do. But it's that initial, let's not make it easy. Let's make it where you've got to go through the steps. You've got to somehow learn this. And then it becomes easy. And then as long as you continue to be in there, you know, if you learn it, you go away for 4 months, you go back into your dashboard. A lot of the people say, wow, now I've forgotten half the stuff.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here, Bob. You're the coach. I'm going to call you Coach Bob. And, you know, apparently, you should know the ins and outs of WordPress. You should be the grand master of everything and know everything there is to know about WordPress. Maybe. Maybe I'm putting you too far out there. But do you have pain points with WordPress? And if so, what are they?
You know, my pain points are coding. And that really is, when people come to me, I have to really give them kind of straight out, here is what I do and here's not what I do. You know, it's a lot of people come to me and think, okay, I can do this, and they muddle code, you know, they muddle between being able to do things simply, being able to do things as a designer, and being able to do things as a developer. And I've learned over time that I really have to say, hey, this is how I do things. You know, I will teach you how to use this theme. I will teach you the WordPress basics. I'll teach you plugins. I try to find solutions through theme features and plugins and a combination of both. Now, I'm going to be really upfront with you if it gets to a point, and I have to say, you know, this is, your expectations are not going to come out of the box with that. You're going to have to hire a developer and do a custom site or a specific piece. And that's my pain points, is not wanting to do that, because I know a little bit of CSS. I can get in there. I can, you know, hack away at that some, PHP, all the other stuff. That's my pain points. I don't want to learn any of that. I want other people to do that. I want to be able to, even when I do my own sites, you know, it's like I really look at the themes, I look at the plugins, how can I put this all together, because I don't want to have to worry about any kind of code customization. So code is my pain point.
Just admit, you know, you're using WordPress at a great point, because back in the WordPress 2.0, 2.3 days, when I initially got involved with WordPress and started learning it, so many plugins had directions. If you looked in the README, it said, find this line in functions.php, add this filter, add this parameter, and this is how you change things. Boy, those days, they're not completely gone, but they're 99% gone, and boy, I bet you're happy for that.
Oh, yeah. And that kind of segues into a pain point that really drives me nuts, is how people will easily throw code onto a blog post and say, okay, if you want to change this, just go in and do this code. You know, change just one line. And I think of all the people I've worked with and dealt with, it's like, first of all, they freak out at the thought of that. They look at it. And then if they do it, they want to remove that certain functionality. You know, 6 months down the road, they have no idea what to do. They're stuck now. Now they have to have somebody go in and find that and remove it, because they were just told to drop it in. And although, you know, a lot of times the argument is, yeah, it's easier to drop in code than add another plugin. But for a lot of these people, they need that functionality and that simplicity of being able to say, here's a plugin, it does it. When I don't need it done, I deactivate the plugin, and that's gone. So it's that whole thing of control, and it drives me nuts when I get a site that's been hard-coded a lot of stuff into the theme, and a lot of the basic WordPress functionality has been lost. And I have to tell the people, I have to say, wow, this is just a mess. You know, you're going to have somebody go in and do all that, or we're going to need to start with square one and get you a new theme.
Yeah, I just had somebody last week open the conversation with, I never heard of an htaccess file before, but the plugin said to change something in it. I need your help. Wow. Boy, talk about... Talk about your problems. I mean, and that's the thing. I think sometimes developers and coders of these guys, you know, these plugin guys, they don't really think that everybody's not a coder, because they are. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of theme people out there that don't realize that, don't think of the content creation aspect of it. Right. As far as actually creating content, rather than just these cool little functions that you can put within the editor.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, and I kind of, you know, I've talked to a lot of developers. I work with a lot of developers. I refer to a lot of them, and some of them we've had this discussion, and a lot of them are understanding that more. And I just said, at least be honest with the person. If you're, you know, hard coding stuff in, and, you know, let them know this functionality is coded in. If you want it changed, you're probably going to have me or somebody else go in and do that. As long as you're upfront and honest, then they don't come to me weeping and crying and saying, you know, Bob, what can I do? Why can't I switch out my sidebar? Well, I find out the whole sidebar has been hard coded in. You know, it's like I say, well, sorry.
Huh. No, you mentioned something earlier about all of this information being accessible to users. So as a trainer, there's thousands of tutorial sites out there, you know, through the likes of Google. Then you have some websites out there that are membership sites, and they have video tutorials, or they have WordPress training. you know, what's your biggest competition as a WordPress coach slash trainer? Is the one-on-one like the one thing that can't be replaced or can't be competed against with automated software?
You know, I probably the one-on-one and the workshops. When I started my membership site with my videos, I thought, you know, okay, I'm doing my tutorials differently. I have a different approach than, you know, some of the people I know and who are good friends like Sean at WP 101, and it will attract a different crowd. And it did, and that's kind of a long story. I ended up shutting that down because it just wasn't the direction I wanted to go. There's direct competition like that. We all have our own ways of teaching. We all have our own style, and people have come to me and said, you know, maybe my style hasn't worked. And on the other hand, other people come to me and say, hey, you know, I've watched this video, I've done this, I belong to this site, and nobody's really quite explained it like you did. So I think there isn't there's a saturation of it, and you need to find that unique style that you bring into training and also the demographic and the kind of people you are training. So the one-on-one and the workshop, you're putting more of your personality into it and more of who you are compared to just putting up videos. So you how you can pull in your strengths that way. If you're doing videos, that's a challenge. I mean, you know, Sean does a great job, and he's had WP 101 up for quite a while, and I'm sending people to Sean. It's like, you know, if you need videos, go see Sean.
The funny thing is we've had Sean Heskis on the show of WP 101, and he was very clear. He's very clear to his customers and about what he offers and the type of training he offers, and he says, hey, if you're looking for a different kind of training that we don't offer here, there's Bob Dunn, or there's this person, or there's this website. I'm glad to hear that the feeling is mutual, where you provide a specific type of training, and you're more than willing to refer people over to somebody else that has maybe training that's more to their learning ability or their style. That's great to hear.
Yeah, and that's what you got. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody, there's enough for all of us. And also there's enough people that are looking for specific things, and you just get a feel of their style and what they're looking for. And it's like, nope, this is better, you know, maybe even an online course somewhere else. So yeah, you really, it's great to have those resources because you can send them and it's a feel good thing. They go and have a good experience and they remember you. So that, you know, that's how they got there, and they're happy and you're happy. So it's all good.
Yeah, and that's one thing that even I tried to throw my hat into the training ring at one point. And Bob, you and I even had a private conversation about it, and I talked to a couple of other trainers and coaches out there. And knowing what was already out there made me completely want to shift my vision, because I wanted to talk about how to make cool landing pages that hooked up to remarketing and all that stuff, and really not WordPress. And getting to know you and getting to know some other people like Steve Burge from OS Training and Sean and everybody else made me realize that the community already had plenty of great people that were taking care of, you know, that had their hand on the wheel, and that I would be a lot better off talking about the things that I love to do rather than just be a WordPress trainer.
Right, exactly. Makes total sense.
And on the topic of training and styles, you recently conducted a survey, How Do You Learn WordPress survey, and I helped pass it around via the Tavern and Twitter, and you had about 428 respondents, and sort of tell us, A, what was the best way of learning for people, and B, were you surprised by any of the results?
Yeah, what I did is basically gave people three choices. It was, you know, what's your favorite way to learn, what can you handle? It's kind of like, you know, if there's not other options type of thing. And then, no way, you know, I can't handle this at all. And the best way of learning came in screenshots and text online, which was like, I knew that was going to land in there either one or two, because just having done enough of, I mean, whether it's going to other blogs or my own blog and talking to people, I find one of the easiest things I do is if somebody sends me a question via email and there's an issue, I will do a quick screenshot, some notations, a little bit of text, send it back to them, and there's never follow-up emails. They get it right away because they see it there makes sense. So the screenshots, text, video tutorials was second, which totally made sense for the best. And I thought it was interesting because when I did my membership site, I would provide a tutorial that was a video, but then I'd also provide screenshots and text that I called video highlights so people could watch a video. Then if they needed to kind of revisit, they didn't have to go through the whole video again. They could go through the text and screenshots. So that didn't surprise me, them being up there. And workshops and one-on-one training were the lower ones, which didn't surprise me. And people probably thinking, well, great, what you're doing is basically on the low end. But and I loved it because you actually pulled my quote. It was that, yeah, there's not as many people that want to learn that way, but at the same time, there's not as many people doing it that way, and not many trainers out there, so there still is a need for that. So that was not surprising. Books being, you know, the lowest, I think, as far as the best, that was probably because people think, oh, technology books, you know, they get outdated or whatever. And
what's a book?
Yeah, what's a book? I hope Lisa isn't listening to this, but
sorry, Lisa.
Books became very high on the "I can handle it" type thing. So you know that made sense because it's like, okay, I can read a book. It's what I've done all my life, basically in school. So you know, the books were still there, and the no ways that. Pretty much, you know, some of the more personal one-on-one online training was one of the top in the no ways. And I think there's a lot of people that just, you know, that's not their thing. You know, they don't want to learn that way. They want to get on there, read something, watch a video, learn it, move on. So the whole, how it all played out, I mean, I know a few people said, oh, wow, I'm really surprised. It just fell into place. I thought, man, this is what I hear, you know, day in and day out talking to people and how they're able to learn. And, you know, there's plenty of people that say, hey, yeah, I can jump on a video. I can do this. But you still get those few people that say, nope, video isn't going to happen. I need you to sit here with me and walk this, you know, step by step in person. So there is that need, and there's people that have that, but the screenshots and text and video totally made sense.
And I think it's important to note that there's no, you didn't segment people, or you don't have any demographics, you don't have any skill levels. It was just a survey with questions on it, and whoever could take it took it and submitted their responses.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, and I explained to a few people because I think they were a little disappointed. They want to know, but, you know, when you put these surveys up, the more you ask, the more personal questions you ask, and just the longer it takes people, the less they're going to do it. So I want to make it easy.
Well, I think also, you know, with that first question, you've really highlighted something that's a need on a local basis that, you know, there's a lot of underserved people out there as far as getting one-on-one training that are sitting down next to somebody and teaching them. And that's something that for designers and developers out there that are struggling to find clients, that's a good lead-in for you, is training someone how to use WordPress, because chances are you'll probably get some work out of it, you know, after the fact.
And if you're lucky, at least based on what I've seen at my local WordPress meetup, sometimes people will show up there at the meetup and we'll go over some lessons or do whatever, but maybe they just don't quite get it, or maybe they need one-on-one for specific help. I've seen forum posts on there saying, hey, is anybody available? I'll hire you. Just drive to my house or drive to this location. Meet me for an hour or two and just help me, walk me through and explain these things to me. And it seems to me like meetups, if you have one, especially some of the more popular ones, are great places to sort of get a feel for if there's a market in that area for one-on-one training.
Yeah, and I noticed with a lot of my one-on-one, I'm doing something Monday with a nonprofit, and they basically had a site designed for them that's custom site, and the guy's having troubles figuring out how to change out some of the images, and he says, I don't know what's customized and what's easy to do, and they're hiring me basically just to come in and coach them on saying, okay, here's how you can easily do this, but these other pieces, yeah, those are, you know, something you're going to have somebody go in and do with more knowledge in the code or whatever. So they're not always necessarily looking for actual hands-on, you know, do this. They're looking for some guidance because they're just at a loss. So they're, you know, they're telling me, for these pieces, you know, tell me who should I go to or where should I go? Who are the people I want to deal with and can take care of this part? And then you show me what I can do myself.
Awesome. Great response. And I just wanted to, before we wrap it up here and get into the new segment of the show, I wanted to, I don't know if you've thought about this, Bob, but what do you think is the future of WordPress training? I think there's a bright future. Obviously, Matt says he wants to see WordPress get up to a 50% market share, which is, you know, it's powering over 23% of the web, and 50%, my goodness, there's so many people, there's so many websites, and, you know, we've talked about some of the things like the onboarding process and the simplification that I think is really going to have to happen to bring more of these people on board and to increase that market share. But when you stop and think about it, if you stop and think about it, maybe when you're on the Puget Sound or you're on one of those ferries up in the Great Northwest, what do you think is the future of WordPress training in general?
You know, I think it's going to grow in the schools. I mean, you know, universities and colleges, you already see that happening. I mean, you know, Laurel.
Yeah, Laurel Van Vossen actually teaches
WordPress. Yeah, and I see more and more people. I know Morton, I think, teaches at a local university, and I see more and more universities starting courses in it, so I think we're going to see that. And I think, you know, if you're going to get into the training, you just kind of have to follow your gut feeling as far as what is, because like I said, 2 years ago, I kind of stopped my workshops. I said, okay, I'm going to go online. I'm not going to do any more in-person workshops. I'm just going to focus online and sit in my pajamas day after day and, you know, just deal with that. And it was like, okay, this is working, but I started losing something with that. I started losing connections with, I mean, I was talking to people and stuff, but I felt I was not getting that interaction, like you said, almost that seeing people and how excited they get when they finally learn something, all those pieces. So I think that over time, you know, the online thing is going to, I mean, it's already kind of getting saturated, but it's going to become more in person. And I think as it grows, more people, that demographic of people that like and need that kind of training are going to start popping up. So people are going to have to either, you know, diversify their training and say, okay, I'm going to start doing in person, or others are going to jump on board and do it. So I think it's always going to be needed to some extent, no matter what WordPress does with itself, because there's always going to be people that need to understand it, and it's going to still be a challenge no matter how simple something gets. There's always those people that just, you know, still have that challenge. So I think it's going to grow, you know.
I hope there's always a need for you and always a way for you to make a living, because, you know, I'm talking about a few years in advance, but what if, you know, like you said, WordPress is already starting to get into the education sector through universities, but what if it becomes an elective, you know, in public schools, and then we already have the kids camps, and what if we get into a situation where there's a kids camp for practically every Words camp, so we're teaching children, between their in their early teen years, how to use WordPress. You know, I just wonder if we get to the point where all of these people are educated enough to where your market for people who want to know this stuff dwindles to a point where it's hard to find people who need the training.
Yeah, you know, I think there's always going to be some, I mean, there's always going to be a certain amount of people, because you have all these different generations, you know. I mean, you could go far into the years, probably long after I'm dead or something, but, you know, where maybe everybody is exposed to it that wants to be, but there's always going to be those people that choose not to at some point in their life and then choose to want to know it. So there, you know, there's going to be things changing everybody's, whether it's your business, whatever, if it's a personal blog, you're never going to carry, I don't think anybody will carry it through their whole life, even if they learn it early. There's going to be times when you drop it. There's always going to be those times you need to pick it up again, or somebody that just showed no interest in it. I mean, I can think of things I was, you know, took in high school and stuff, and my God, if I had to try to put something together in a woodworking class again, they'd have to, you know, it's like bobbing nails and wood. No, that's not going to happen. So, you know, there's things you learn, but how much you really carry them through, I think there's always going to be, you know, as long as it's around, I think there's always going to be a need.
And last but not least, if you ever have the opportunity to go to a kids camp and a work camp, I highly recommend it. I think you'll be pretty impressed.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
These kids, I've attended the kids camp. When these kids go from Minecraft to ripping out posts and creating categories and slapping in some featured images, it's like, wow, you know, these kids are, it's just like part of their culture. They already, it's like they're born with WordPress knowledge, man. It's pretty impressive to see.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. I've done a lot of work in education and stuff in the past and stuff, so I always enjoyed going in and doing presentations and stuff. Nothing WordPress back then, but it was amazing with kids. They just, you know, they just suck that stuff up.
So before we get into officially get into our news segment, any last questions for Bob on training, Marcus?
Well, I think I just think it's just more of a statement to get Bob's reaction, but I think beyond the training of the initial, you know, 101 style, where do you see specific kind of centralized training going for more advanced people? Like I'm saying, like WooCommerce training or, you know, theme training or things like that. What are the more advanced things that maybe the repeats are coming back to you with and saying, boy, I really wish we could learn this now?
Yeah, and I think you hit it, you know, hit the nail on the head with that, because when I started doing some WooCommerce training, it was like, I thought, my God, how did these people find out they were coming out of the woodwork? You know, with, can you coach me on this? Can you coach me on this? So there is that need in any specific, you know, whether you're doing a membership site. I've actually had people come to me and want training on training. They want to do what I basically do. So they'll hire me for a couple hours and we'll kind of go through some of that. But I think, yeah, I think e-commerce, I think membership sites, the themes, because people are always changing themes. And a lot of people will hire me just to pick a new theme for them, and we'll really go through some step-by-step stuff. So that in itself.
I mean, just think of it. Just that was like going off on a loudspeaker in my ear. People will hire me just to go and help them find a theme. I mean, think that that's just astounding to me. That's how I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean that right there, that's just an incredible thing for me to hear.
Yeah. and it's amazing because so many people, but why I actually started doing more of that is that people were landing on themes and getting themes because they were disillusioned with a demo. They didn't understand this. They didn't, you know, what can I really do here? Do I have to hire somebody to fix this part? So it's really picking at their brains, going through everything they want it to do. And I'll even say, okay, what sites do you like? They'll give me some sites. I'll maybe give them three or four themes that I think might work. And I tell them, now look at all those themes and tell me everything you like about it, but everything you want to change. Then they come back to me and we go through that process and they'll say, okay, I don't like that this has three columns across here. I want two columns. Well, with this particular theme, you're stuck with three columns. That's how it's built. That's how the homepage is built. If you want that change, it's going to have to be done in the theme code. So I make them aware of their limitations and what they can do. And often you think, oh, why would anybody want to hire somebody to do that? But then it saves them a lot of headache and time down the road, and they're not keep getting a theme and saying, oh, this one isn't working, dump this one. This one isn't working. They're more aware ahead of time exactly what they can and cannot do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been down that road before of going window shopping with WordPress themes, coming across one that I think fits the vision in my head. I download it, have a heck of a time getting it to look like the demo, and then realizing I'm out $70. All right, let's go down the street and I'll look for another theme.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been there myself, so it's and it becomes a thing where you start to kind of figure, and that's why I probably kind of focus on the themes I do, because if I was just, you know, when people come, I usually say, okay, I work with these particular themes because I know them inside and out. You know, anything beyond that's going to take a little bit more time for me to even understand and figure out what capabilities it has for you. So, yeah, it's interesting, but it's amazing how many people find out how much time and money they save and misery, actually, by getting a little bit of help.
Yeah, time and misery, and you can help them from the beginning of having to add specific changes or plugins and sort of telling them about the child themes versus getting into a situation where it's too late.
Right, exactly.
Or the only thing that will help them is to just put a H1000 in their theme and watch it blow up into a million pieces.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, so you're going to stick around here. We'll try and wrap this up, get through some news topics here. And the first thing I want to talk about is the Press This tool, which is in WordPress, has been for years, has been completely revamped with a new user interface and minimalist design. And it will ship with WordPress 4.2. So I ended up downloading WordPress 4.2 Beta 3 to take a look at this new Press This tool, and I'm impressed. It's a very slick new interface, very smooth, very fast. Love the way it does the presentation of content. One of the convenient features of it is you're able to pick an image on the website that corresponds to the post, and instead of hot linking it, when you save a draft or you click the publish button, the image will automatically be uploaded into your media library, and it will use that one, so that eliminates the need for hot linking. So that's a very cool feature. I noticed they're still working on some improvements. I think at some point we may see them add the additional meta box to be able to set up a featured image, which right now it doesn't have. Can't wait to see that in a future iteration of the Press This tool. But what's really cool for me is that the Press This box is sort of a experimental new post editor. It doesn't look really anything like the post editor you find in WordPress. So it's kind of like an experiment for them to test it out. And right now I like it. I like what I see. I like how it's used. Now, of course, they need to add that featured image box so I don't have to switch back to the other editor. And once they do that, I'm really going to give this thing a try. And from what I've been able to find out, it's API driven. So again, it's sort of an experiment that shows what can be done just based on the API. Just a really cool experiment, and you'll be able to give it a test run when 4.2 ships before the end of this month. It's probably going to be within another week or two. Well, we haven't even seen RC1 release yet, so another 2 weeks, I'd guess, before we see WordPress 4.2 released officially. But Bob, have you had questions? Have you had to coach anybody about what the heck a Press This bookmarklet is and how to use it?
Yeah, you know, most people have stayed away from it. They kind of, you know, freak out about it, and a few people ask, and I'll explain it to them, and they'll say, oh, yeah, well, yeah, whatever. So there hasn't been a real value or real interest amongst casual users at least the ones I've dealt with. But I haven't, I got in and played with it a little bit, but I relied a lot on your review because I was interested in what you were saying. And I think, you know, just looking at that, it might be something worth exploring and something I think I may, you know, start to include more, because I never really touched on it much, especially in a lot of my WordPress basic workshops. But I think it might actually have a little bit more intuitiveness and usability now, where it will be worth sharing. And then, of course, it can be their option to use it or not. But I see it as nothing but good, you know, the direction it's going.
Yeah, like I said, if they add the featured image box and they fix a couple of other things, it could be an alternative, in my mind, possibly easier, more intuitive interface to use to create your content.
Right, right. And, yeah, I could see a lot of people, yeah, basically choosing that. That's going to be how they do it from here on in, because, you know, a lot of them, all the other bells and whistles, they get those in place and they're good to go. They're just wanting to pump out content. So
right.
I think it's a good thing.
And I want to see this integrated with the mobile app. so that I can be browsing something, looking at something, and hit the, you know, send to, forward, whatever device you're happen to use, and I can send it to the press this of my particular blog. You hit press this, and then it says, which installation do you want to send it to? Oh, I want to send it to MarcusCouch.com. And then I can put my commentary on that. I'd like to see that integrated into the mobile app. That would be a huge experience, to where if I could just go left and right to select which image on that particular page I wanted to use as my thumbnail and or featured image, that would rock. That would, you know, Matt's always talking about getting mobile expanded within the WordPress community, and I think this is a good bridge in order to do that.
So that's a good feature, but before they do that, the one feature they have to add is the ability, and this is on the roadmap for a future version, is to be able to switch websites, because right now the press bookmark is tied to a specific site, meaning if you have five different websites, you will have five different presses bookmarklets, and one would be tied to each website, which is, you know, that's just ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense. So once they add the ability to do site switching, there could be one presses bookmarklet to rule them all. Then you maybe add a button, or you download it to your app screen, and you just hit a button that says push this. And then, you know, you could choose which site you're going to publish it on. And once you get the site switcher in there, it'll really help with the entire user experience.
Well, it sounds like an opportunity for somebody to make an app and get ahead of the curve a little bit. Make it so that you can register all your other press this is from your sites into one app that you could then forward to.
Well, that's an idea, but me, I'm in no hurry. I'm going to wait.
Okay.
So ThemeReview.co, which is the theme review business that was opened earlier this year by Justin Talak and Emil Izulak. I just call him Emil. They have announced that they are now branching off in the plugins. So they're going to do paid plugin reviews. Now, this is a natural pivot. They've been doing really good with their theme review business, and it really helped when they had strategic recommendations coming in from both Envato and StudioPress. So what they're going to do here is they're opening up the WordPress plugin review system, and there's unlike themes, which have a very sort of concrete review criteria. Where they have to go through this big long process before they're actually added on to the .org repository. The plugin side of things is not so
stringent.
Stringent to get in. Mostly the plugin code is if it works, it works. They're mostly looking for license incompatibilities, third party scripts, phone home, security vulnerabilities. But if you have bad code and it works, but there's no security vulnerabilities, it will be added to the WordPress plugin directory. So what the team here is going to do, theme review team, ThemeReview.co, is look at those plugins, provide those theme author or plugin authors with best practices, APIs they should be using, trying to get them to do everything the WordPress way first instead of recreating the wheel. And then they're going to try and create this sort of guidelines that maybe they'll share with other people. So congrats to them. And, again, it's just a natural pivot. I guess it was just a matter of time. And as Justin Tadlock said, he's actually excited about this because plugin reviews is like venturing out into the Wild West. So I can only imagine it'd be really cool if at some point after doing, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 plugin reviews, they do a post on ThemeReview.co where they say, you know, it's quite interesting what we're finding in these plugins these days. Now, they don't have to name the plugins. I just want to see what they're finding, some of the interesting things. I think I don't think a lot of us would be surprised at some of the things they're finding. So that would be really cool.
And I would really I would like to rephrase, actually, what they're doing, because we're calling them plugin reviews, but really they're plugin audits. They are going in to make sure that the code is clean, to make sure that there are not, you know, overlapping processes that probably could be done in core anyway with you know, just the right callouts. So it's different. And I had somebody actually on Twitter say, isn't this what you do? No, I'm a plugin critic. I just, you know, I'm like the movie reviewer. I just I tell you if it's good or if it's bad. I don't really get into the code or anything like that. So these guys really are taking a forensic analysis of a plugin and suggesting to the actual developers what can be done to improve it. So I think it's a little beyond what our traditional vision of a review is. They are getting very, very deep with it.
Now, obviously, I think a lot of people would like to see a very, very deep review be part of the actual process to get a plugin added onto WordPress.org, but it's expensive. It takes time and it takes money, and there's no way to automate it. So I think what we're seeing here is there's obviously a business for code auditing, and I think within the next few months we're going to hear about that these guys have just gone gangbusters, because it's always better to have your code reviewed by another professional.
Definitely.
Another pair of eyes. So WordPress 4.2 will natively support Chinese, Korean, and Japanese characters. So this is a huge step in the right direction for WordPress's global reach, working on internationalizing WordPress even more. So the change comes about. Now, WordPress 4.2 is going to support emoji, and how they ended up having the reason they could make that happen is because they had to make a key database change from what they call UTF-8 MB3 to UTF-8 MB4. And if that's way over your head, trust me, I understand. But what that does is it adds a bit to the database. You're able to use a lot more characters. And because you're able to use these characters, you'll be able to use the Korean, Chinese, or Japanese characters natively instead of having to use emoji or some outside third-party source. So it's just a great sort of enhancement to WordPress 4.2. Now, a lot of us have all been focused on the emoji and, you know, big deal, why are people working on this? But for emoji to happen, this emoji is sort of a side benefit to the native character support you're getting because of the database changes that needed to happen. So the real technical genius here is all of the things that had to be done technically through the database and the changes to support those characters. And on the side, yay, we get emoji to really show everybody how we feel. Fantastic. So I just want to say that, you know, this is a great change. Gary Pendergast, who is one of the primary developers to getting emoji and this all the things that need to be done with the database change support in the core, just a great job. And I know he's taking some heat for it because there's a lot of people saying emoji, what a waste of time. But when you think about being able to do those characters natively for those languages and think about WordPress really becoming a global CMS, it's a great step in the right direction.
Well, yeah, think about just everything that we've talked about in this episode thus far. We're talking about how difficult it is for people to learn WordPress, yet we're looking at it in our own native, our own language. Now, imagine how it is for the Chinese, the Korean, and the Japanese people that don't typically get those native characters even within the language set of probably even the admin or things like that. So this is huge, because now you're going to get exposure to millions more people that could probably really flatten that learning curve. And with universal translation and all those things just coming around the corner, that's huge, because you need to get that user base developed in some of these other countries. I'm looking forward to reviewing the first completely translated Chinese plugin one of these days. That's going to be great. So,
and I'm looking forward to reading your review of that plugin. I just want to be pretty cool. I'm just going to take a guess here, but yeah. So last but not least, the WordPress core team has announced release leads for WordPress 4.3 and 4.4. Now, you might be thinking we're jumping the gun a bit, but actually this is very beneficial, because it's one of the first times where they've had the convenience of being able to announce the release leads so far in advance. Usually they're announcing the release leads as part of the beginning of the next development cycle. Well, now this eliminates that process, a cog in the wheel, and now those release leads actually have time to start thinking about what it is they want to focus on, and they can start shepherding the featured plugins, getting other ducks in a row. before their first day of actually leading a release. So Constantine Oberlin will lead the release of WordPress 4.3, and his big contribution to WordPress lately is he redesigned the theme directory, which looks pretty snazzy. And 4.4 will be led by Scott Taylor, who is largely responsible for the audio and video improvements in WordPress 3.9, which are awesome, by the way. I've been using them. The built-in media player and the media enhancements there, spot on, great stuff. So just congratulations to those two gentlemen. Awesome contributors, awesome volunteers. I can't wait to see what happens here. And I'm hoping that by having these release leads announced way ahead of time, it just smooths out any rough edges around the WordPress development cycle, and we can carry this momentum into 4.5 and 4.6 and start taking care of some other things as well to just sort of eliminate anything that could be a cog in the wheel or something that could hold the development meeting or development cycle up. So congrats. Just good stuff all the way around.
Yeah, and I just think every time I see all the contributors to any release and stuff, I just think, oh, thank God they're there. You know,
yes.
It's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all I can say.
Yeah, so congrats to them. And that's going to wrap it up for the news of this week. Marcus, why don't you give us your plug-in picks of the week, and then we'll all say our goodbyes.
Definitely. Well, the first one out of the gate, Jeff, you might want to take a look at this one yourself, because this may be one that's post-worthy as far as being on the tavern. It's called Disk Usage Sunburst. And what it does is it creates a cool little sunburst chart, basically a circle with a bunch of different arcs around it. And each arc within the chart is designated as either a directory or a file. And all you need to do is hover your mouse over an arc to see the name of the file or the directory and the size. So the bigger the arc is, the larger the file. And it's a really useful method in determining what are the largest files within your WordPress installation. I did it on one of my demo sites, and I didn't really realize that I uploaded a 2-meg image to the site until I used this particular tool. So it's really a neat tool to kind of analyze and really pinpoint exactly where your files are and the size of the files within your WordPress installation. A really good way to kind of give a self-audit of your site as well. So really good plugin. It's called Disk Usage Sunburst.
Oh, well, look at that. PharmaHack directory is using up a lot of space. I don't think that's good. I'm only joking out there.
Next one up is very useful. It's called Download Media Library. And plain and simple, this plugin lets you download your entire media library as a zip file. Your options allow you to designate whether you'd like to download via post type, post name, the media type, the file extension, all of that. So it's a great method in which you can archive and sort of back up your media contents with just a couple clicks without having to do that full backup of your site.
So I know you can, it says download files from a media library in zip format, but what about, I guess you just have to unzip and re-upload them to the directory, to upload that directory structure to get it back?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right. So it doesn't necessarily give you your directory structure. So it's not really a migration tool more than it is just an archival tool.
Okay.
And finally, this is something that I've tried out myself, and it works pretty well. It's called Tracking Code Manager. And now that search engine marketing is at an all-time high, it's become the norm. Everybody out there is either doing Google advertising, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter promoted posts, things like that. Well, they all require one thing, which is they need some sort of a beacon or a tracking pixel or tracking code to be installed within the site. And things like Facebook and Google, well, that typically required two different plugins or two different installations of code. And that taxes your system as far as the resources. If you've got, you know, three or four different plugins to handle all of the different types of code injection that you need to do, that definitely slows down your site. Well, Tracking Code Manager is one of the first plugins that I've ever seen that actually does everything out there. It does Facebook audiences and Facebook retargeting, Google remarketing, integrates Google Analytics, Zendesk, eye tracking analytics, pop-ups, all that kind of stuff. And you could do it all within this one plugin. And the version that's released in the repository is a free version, but they also have a premium version that does a little bit more tracking as far as where you can place the code. You can even do it in like a per post inclusion, tracking it in custom post types or even within categories and tags. So it's a really handy plugin if you do a lot of advertising, tracking, and code injection. It's called Tracking Code Manager.
Thanks a lot. Sounds like some great plugins, especially that download media library, because if you run like an active website and you're continuously adding media to it every day, it's very difficult to sort of bring. I mean, it's not difficult to export the database and import the database, which just contains the content. The problem is it doesn't contain the images. So I've been looking for an easy way to download the media library from one site to upload it to my staging site, and I think this will fit the bill, except it's probably going to take forever to upload.
I see the same thing. I think of conversations and people have asked me specifically that. So that is, I mean, I've already got it written down here because this is going to be something that there is a need for it, because there are people that are looking for, and I'm trying to think of an instance, but they are looking to just download it. They're not thinking of backing up or migrating or anything. They just want that, all those files for some reason or other. So very, very cool find.
I'll give you a good instance of where it can be used. It's for a particular project that I've got right now, which is I have a client that has a bunch of different domains that are mapped to a multi-site installation, and now they want to go to individual sites. So I have had to, rather than reference the main site or things like that within these little individual installs, I just downloaded the entire media library and picked it apart from there. So that's where it was handy for me.
Yeah, makes sense. Cool.
And by the way, that music notation plugin you mentioned last week, I wrote about that. Man, that's a pretty cool plugin. It works great. And I actually found out that Nate Wright, I believe it's Nate Wright, also has a notation plugin that does a little bit more, but it's actually cool to see that. For anyone out there that needs to mess with music notation, there's at least two plugins out there that do a great job.
Yeah, I know. I was just going to say, I know that when you did the post on it, Jeff, that I shared it, and I think I had somebody direct message me and say, wow, this is exactly something I was hoping would come up or something.
No way. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's always amazing how many times I think, and I'll think, well, you know, there's going to be some specific little person out there in the world that's going to love this thing, and maybe I'll catch them, and every once in a while it's like, oh, wow, that's just, you know, I was hoping something like this, or this is going to be so useful for me. So, yeah, it's amazing.
That's an awesome story. Thanks for telling us that. That's pretty cool. I mean, Marcus found it, but then when I came across it, I said, who needs this? Who's going to be doing music notation? But obviously, hey, people need it, and it's great to see that something exists there for the people who need it.
Exactly.
So that's going to do it for this edition of WordPress Weekly. Bob, I was really stoked for the show, and I had a really great time here learning about what you're experiencing, training WordPress users and just WordPress coaching and training in general. I think you're doing an awesome job. I think you're one of the important pillars of WordPress and really helping WordPress to grow, because you're there. You're, instead of people getting disgusted and frustrated to the point of wanting to go to a Wix or a Squarespace, they find you and you set them on the right path to righteousness or something like that. To
Preacher Bob here.
I should say happiness, because we don't want the whole WordPress religion thing going on here, because that's dangerous territory. But you're doing a great job over there. I'm always hearing great recommendations about you, and just keep up the great work, man. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And yeah, this is a blast. I've been looking forward to this, so I'm glad I finally was able to make it on this show. So very cool.
Now before we let you go, you got to give us all the details on where we can find you on Twitter, Facebook, your website, and are you available for training? Can someone go to your website, and do you have anything available there where somebody who is interested in training get in touch with you?
Yeah, website, bobwp.com. And, yeah, I have both one-on-one online training slots available. They can just go in and look. Of course, a lot of people want to contact me beforehand and kind of make sure it's a right fit, which I totally understand. Then I have some in-person one-on-ones that I do in Seattle as well. And then, of course, if you're in the area, I have a lot of different workshops I have posted and also will be posting, you know, forever and ever, amen type thing. So, yeah. So, yeah, and I'm Bob WP on Twitter, and I usually just tell people at the beginning of my presentations, you know, if you need to find me, just Google Bob WP. You'll find me somewhere. So.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Thanks again for being on the show. And Marcus, of course, I don't know if we don't know where to find you yet by now, but if we don't, where can we keep tabs?
Yeah, you can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, and also on Twitter at marcuscouch.
And you can find show notes for this episode and every other episode on wptavern.com. Just click the WordPress Weekly link up at the top. You'll see a list of categories. It'll be right there. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's J-E-F-F-R-0. And as far as I know, Marcus, I don't think we have another guest scheduled for next week, do we? It's kind of empty.
We don't have a slot filled for next week, but that's okay. I think
we probably will.
If we don't, there's a lot that you and I need to discuss about some things going on in the community. So stick around for that. If there's no one sitting in that seat, then Jeff and I have got some targets.
I might just not schedule a guest just so I can see what's going on here. All right. You got me psyched up for next week's show already. So
all right.
Everybody out there, have a safe, enjoyable rest of the week. And until next Wednesday night, stay safe, everybody.